You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors on the first day of a new trading week, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And this evening we're speaking to Nick Kunze from Sanlam Private Wealth. And yeah, I was talking to David Shapiro, who we'll be talking to tomorrow night as a triumvirate. I was just saying that I think the next 3 to 4 to 5, maybe even 6 months, will be probably the most tumultuous in our history. I mean, one of the 2 or 3 times that we've looked back and said, goodness me, how did we get through that? And he said, well, what we've just been through was tumultuous as well. But I think there's more to come. I just get this feeling that something's going to happen. It's all to do with the US election, of course.
Yeah, I think you're right, Lindsay. And not just elections as well. I think if we look at what's transpired the last 3, 4, 5 months, you know, I can understand to a certain level from an investment point of view why we've had a bounce back in certain things with what the central banks are doing. You know, we've all seen the numbers, the liquidity that's flying into the market. So I kind of, that makes sense, but there's no more coming that I can see with regards to more interventions, more central bank, more quantitative easing. So that's out the way. Then we've had the earnings season, which we're kind of in the middle of at the moment, all going towards the tail end anyway out of the US. So now we know the results directly because this is the second quarter of earnings. This was in the middle of the pandemic. So now we're getting an idea of how these companies are faring. But as you said, the next 6 months with the US elections in November and the rest of the year panning out, I think you can be spot on. I think it's going to be, I don't think anyone has a clue, really. It's going to be very difficult to try to figure it out.
I think that if it gets to the place where it becomes very apparent that, for example, Mr. Biden is winning, or for example, yeah, Mr. Trump has clawed its way back and he's going to have a second term, then the markets will position themselves. But I think it'll be 2 to 3 weeks beforehand you'll get a sudden, oh my goodness me, look what's going to happen. Taxes are going to be raised. Oh goodness me, we've got another 4 years of this freak and something's going to go on. Yeah. But you're going to have to stay on your toes, Nick. You really have to.
Yeah, I do. And I've said this a few times. You know, the easy money was that, you know, those who are fortunate enough to buy the bounce and buy the dip in March and ride it to where it is now. You know, that was the easy bit. I think you're going to really earn your keep trying to figure out where things are going now. And so even looking at some of these asset prices, I'm talking about like commodities and things like that. We haven't even spoken about sort of OPEC and production numbers and what's falling off in the world economy, etc. There's so many moving parts. And yes, I think you're right. It's going to need to be on your toes for the next 6 months.
What happened today? We spoke about ShopRite this morning, and it wasn't one of those things where people said, oh, well, these were quite good and I'm short of the market, so I have to buy the market back. Maybe there was, or rather buy the share price back. And they did so, and then the market fell in a heap. This is a different thing. These are a good set of results. We didn't expect it. And there's been consistent buying throughout the day.
It has been. And actually finished, I mean, I'll give you the numbers now. I mean, up 8.47%. At one point, it was up almost 11%, 113.43, the closing level there. It was a solid set of numbers. And we spoke about it this morning on the show. These are one of the few companies that has been open. I'm actually starting to hear more and more positive stuff coming out of this sort of space. And I was actually chatting today with a few of the guys on an earnings call with the ShopRite results. And people were saying, they were talking about this new app, the 6060 app, they call it. And they're saying it's been a huge success that they're looking at rolling out now into the rest of South Africa. So it seems to be a lot of things right. And as you said, it was one of the few cases where normally you get by the rumors, sell the news. But I don't know if you're right that some people maybe been caught a little bit short, or else the fact was, Lindsay, that they actually generally really were a cracking set of numbers.
Yes.
And on the JSE, where it's difficult to find good companies that are earning good stuff in this environment, that was certainly a standout for me. So yeah, kudos to them.
Yes, exactly. PMI came out today as well, another South African story. It normally comes out in the first of the month, but as that fell on the weekend, and we're above 50 still. I mean, in other words, the manufacturing economy of South Africa is expanding, albeit off a low base, but nothing too spectacular. But anyway, PMI up. Let's record that for the record.
Yeah, our PM up, as you said, coming off a bit of a low base. But in line, though, I would say, Lindsay, with what we're seeing around the world as well. I mean, we had some PMI numbers out of the States this afternoon too. 52.8 or 53, somewhere around there, the number that came in. So we're starting to slowly see, I think, you know, the world is still turning. So we're starting to see all these low bases, the manufacturing slowly coming back and some things coming back. But my problem is, of course, things are so reactive at the moment. And all of these numbers we see, besides something like a weekly jobless number, which, as the name implies, is once a week, a lot of these numbers that we're seeing are months old. And in this fast-moving pace, we have such a reactive market. I just wonder how relevant a lot of these numbers are. But, you know, sometimes we'll take the good news when we get it.
Quite right. Anything else on the Stock Exchange news service today? I'm sort of scrolling through, and I'm up to 4:03 South African time, and I can't really see anything. Anything in the last hour or so? No, I don't think so.
No, but I'm going to comment on one or two share prices which stood out for me, and it actually stood out for me over a few days now. So MTN is the one.
Yes.
And that share price has consistently the last few days been negative, and it's usually reasonably correlated to the oil price in Nigeria and the NER, et cetera. And MTN's numbers last, Nigeria's numbers came as last week. I didn't even think they were that bad. But anyway, that stock's off about 10 Rand, which is quite a big move over the space of a week or so. And of course, it's difficult not to look at our Rand, what it's been doing the last few days, and certainly look at what our banks are doing. There are certainly been a lot of selling, and I'm not sure who the sellers are, because typically most of the buyers in our banks are our locals, but someone's selling. I mean, the likes of, Standard Bank today down 5%. Capitec. I mean, Capitec, my goodness, it was threatening to break 1,000 a few weeks ago. 829 Rand.
Look at
that thing.
That's
down another 6%. So those are real standouts. And unfortunately, I don't want to be a bearer of bad news, but financials tend to lead markets, because that's obviously where the economy is and the borrowing and the credits. The way our banks are behaving, I'm afraid, doesn't sit well for the next few weeks from a South African point of view, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I'm going to coin the phrase now, and I've done it before, but I'll do it again with you. Capitulation. That is what is happening at the moment. Yeah, below 830. And this was what, 1,500, 1,400?
Yeah,
what was the high?
Absolutely. Yeah, 1,400. But not even going, you have to go back that far. I mean, go back a week or two, the thing was close to 1,000. So it's off almost 20%. That's a big move.
Yes, it is. Let's have a look at the spot prices at the moment. Just while I'm scrolling down, what was the mood today? I mean, you don't have to tell me about the semantics, the specifics, but was there a buoyant mood? Was there a cautious mood? Was there a, oh my goodness, look at the Rand mood? Because that's the one that has really stood out for me.
Yeah, the Rand. And the more I try to dissect things, and I try to be methodical, and I chat around, we're chatting to the broker networks today, trying to find out who's selling, what's happening. But there is a definite feeling at the moment that foreigners are certainly exiting the Rand. I heard a lot of comments about the headlines in the Sunday Times yesterday as well, was quite negative with the ANC, with the current administration, with what's happening with a lot of these a lot of these tenders that have gone out. So I will have to say, it was a bit of a disappointing Monday. It was a lot of people, a lot of nerves talking about what's happened over with regards to this money, the IMF. I mean, I could go on and on and on, but I would say the mood today, in summary, was quite anti-SA today. And that's not just coming from South Africa, that was coming from offshore base as well.
I'm going back to a conversation I had maybe 6 or 7 years ago, and a particular economist at a particular bank who is no longer at that bank. The bank is still going along, and he's still going along, but they parted ways. And he said, one day, Lindsay, and I don't know when it's going to be, South Africa will go to the IMF with the begging bowl. And although the 70 billion or whatever it is, isn't a begging bowl. I mean, it's not a massive begging bowl. It's not, oh my goodness, I can't survive without the putting food into this begging bowl occasion. The fact is that we've been to the IMF, and if you're an international investor and you look at an emerging market, and that emerging market economy has had to be bailed out, let's not make any bones about it. We have been bailed out. Then that is a red flag, and the currency has to go down, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You can refute my comments if you wish.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting, Lindsay, because I often look at the Rand. I think I've said a few times in your show that the Rand often displays that risk on, risk off barometer to the world economy. You know, S&P goes up, it's a positive day, people buy emerging market currencies, the Rand is the most liquid. But I'd have to say the last couple of days, there certainly seems to have been a Rand seller. you know, this is not an emerging market play. This is someone, some fund, some institution, I don't know, collection of them that are taking a negative view on the RAND, unfortunately. And this is just an SA RAND case. So I tend to agree. It's not, it just doesn't have a good feel about it at the moment, this market, within the South African context.
Okay, let's have a look at those very unpleasant RAND numbers today, which have they've been building up for the last couple of trading days, Thursday and Friday. The dollar RAND is 17.22, was 17.30 at one stage. British pound against the RAND, 22.45. Euro RAND, 20.22. Euro dollar flying in the face of the RAND weakness by showing, actually, no, yeah, maybe that's a little bit of it, actually. You know, we've got a third of a percent rally in the US dollar. In other words, the euro is weaker by 0.34%. 117.40, we'll call it, the euro-dollar exchange rate. The gold price is unchanged at 19, well, it's down a couple, actually, 1973, let's put it that way. Ooh, 1973 was a big year with the oil crisis. But anyway, I'm digressing. The platinum price is up 9 to 9.18. Where's palladium, please, Nick?
No, just down a snow. $4 down, 0.25%, 2,100 on the nose, 2100.
Okay, let's have a look at those two important crude oil prices. The West Texas is up nearly 2% now, or 80 cents a barrel to 41.07. Nice bounce back there. Brent crude oil also doing well, up 1.3% to 44.09. What are the US indices doing, please, Nick, after now nearly 2 hours of trading?
Really, really solid. A very different looking to feel to it than we had in our markets today. So the S&P currently, the highs of the session, 3,290. That's up 0.8%. Dow Jones Industrial Average, that is up 184 points, 0.7%. And of course the NASDAQ, a new, ring the bell, new all-time high.
There we go.
1.17% of 10,871. So if it closes here, that'll be a new closing high for the NASDAQ.
Got to do something with my position, but that's for tomorrow night with the Tuesday trade. Let's have a look now at the top five movers to the upside on the day, because it has been interesting. We've already spoken about ShopRite. I don't know if when the last time you went to ShopRite was, but you were talking about that 60-60 thing. Are you going to use the 60-60 service?
Absolutely. I'm going to give it a go. I was asking a few around. Look, it's not available everywhere, so they've rolled it out in some parts of the Western Cape, and they've also rolled it out in most parts around Johannesburg and Gauteng. And I've yet to hear one person say a bad thing. They said it is excellent. It really is
fantastic.
That good. So I'm going to give it a bash tomorrow. I'll give you guys feedback when I chat to you and David tomorrow on it.
Okay.
My experience on the 60-60 app.
Very good. I spoke to David about it earlier on the Shapiro World, and he didn't know what I was talking about. Mind you, he's getting on a bit. The top five major moves to the upside. There's something called IMC B22, up 11.25%, 320 million rand a share or something. I can't work out how many numbers. Do you know what IMC B22 is?
Not a clue, and I can't see it on my list, so I don't know where it is.
Exactly, yeah. So let's not let that particular security detain us. ShopRite up 8.5%, Sasol up 4.6%, Glencore a 3.6% winner, and BHP up 3.5%. Interesting, two of the diversified mining companies doing well in the top five. Haven't seen that for a while, BHP and Glencore. What is that?
I think a lot of that's to do with, look, you speak about the RAND. I mean, that's obviously old RAND hedges. Glencore primary listing is obviously in London as well as BHP Billiton as well. So I think that's a bit of a RAND play. Also, if you look at what the commodity prices are doing, as you said, oil prices bouncing back. They were down this morning, currently almost up 2%. So that'll be your BHP Billiton, which is more than 20% of its income as petroleum. And of course, Sasol as well, up on the leaderboard as well. So commodities, once again, that story.
Okay, on the downside, we've got Telkom down 7.75%. I saw some absurd story about them going into financial services. Do we really need some more financial services?
No.
Is there enough finance to be serviced?
It's difficult for me to even comment on what I really want to say about Telkom. I mean, they just keep on coming out with these, I don't know, what. There's like a real identity crisis in this company. I mean, they had a monopoly many years ago, and they didn't sort of be able to leverage off that monopoly. And then, I mean, a year ago, the stock price was up at 100 Rand. I saw commentary saying that they were looking at becoming a REIT and I don't know, unbundling their property. I mean, I pick up a note today about them going into financial services. I mean, it just seems like they're really, like they need direction. Like, where are they going? I have not a clue where they're going.
And maybe they should go into food delivery services as well with this financial services, and maybe the share price another 7.75%.
The less said about them, the better, I think.
Oceana down 6.25%. Capitec down another 6%. 820. Oh, no, wait a second. Let me just refresh the screen because I'm falling behind you here. But this is a really, really big move. It's 829.75 on the close, down 6.15%. This has destroyed about 40% of its value over the last, well, since the high of late last year, I think it was. 1,400.
It has been a big move, and it was up over 1,400. In fact, the high was 1,497 to be exact.
Let's call it 1,500.
Let's call it 1,500 just before Christmas. This is a big move, man. This is a very big move. And it was quite sticky for a while. You know, it was sitting around, you know, it had an initial sell-off with everyone else in March, bounced back quite strongly, sort of followed the playbook. But it's definitely been selling off quicker than the others in the last couple of weeks. I'm just trying to find out on my – if I look at my price performance, I'll give you more. Okay, I want to see what it did last month because I think it dropped. It's had a really, really big turnaround. So if I look at the last five trading days, it's actually flat. But over the last – let's have a look here. I beg your pardon. So over the last five trading days, the stock's down 7%. Over the last 6 months, it's down 40%. So it's a pretty significant move.
Yeah, and just at the bottom of the list, but still with a significant move to the downside, 5.5% down for Nedcor at 99.21. Banks coming into sharp focus today.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, that'll be the big story for me. The RAND, the financials, that's certainly that sort of sell SA feel about it today, unfortunately.
Okay, give us the closing indices on this first day of a new trading week as we tread with trepidation into that new week.
Agreed. Okay, so 55,829 is the number on the all share, just squeezing into the green, 107 points, 0.19%. JSE top 40, just 0.4% higher, 200 points higher, 51,571. And if you look at the individual share, individual indices, utilities firm about 6.5%. Energy shares having a good day. It would be the likes of Sasol, 3.21% higher. Basic materials, as you mentioned, Lindy, also that index up 2%. But on the downside, leading us lower, healthcare down 2%, industrials down 2.64%. And finally, at the bottom, the financials down 3.08%.
Nick Kunze, thank you so much for your time this evening. That was Nick Kunze from Sanlam Private Wealth, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. Nick and I will be back tomorrow for the opening, and also, of course, for the 5 o'clock shadow with the Tuesday trade with David Shapiro at 5 o'clock tomorrow evening, 24 hours to go. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.